Mike Vandervoort. Ben Martinez, are you on the line by any chance? No. Well, this is Mike Vandervoort live on Drive-Thru HR, and the show has started, and I have no guest. We're supposed to have Ben Martinez, HR Hound from HireVue, and I don't know if we're experiencing technical difficulty or if we're running into a lack of a guest, but at any rate, I'm here today and talking to myself, which is more frequent than you would like with live radio, I guess. So HR horror stories. If anyone is wanting to call in, now would be a great time. Otherwise, I'm going to start telling HR horror stories, and it'll be a half hour of me talking to myself. So please call in. The number is 347-996-5600. I'm also going to try to follow along on Twitter to see if there are any questions out there, if anybody wants to try to bail me out. Otherwise, let's see, HR horror stories. The first HR horror story that I would recount would be a fight. I had an employee who was working at an hourly job in a manufacturing setting, and he was told to do something. The partner that he wanted to work with, that they needed something done by a supervisor. The guy set about doing the task, and his coworker decided to knock him off a chair and beat the crap. Michelle Tozzi says, "Is talking to yourself on drive-through HR one? Is that my HR horror story?" Yes, it's one of them, Michelle. Thanks. This employee who had been with us for 35 years decided to beat the crap out of his coworker. It was a union shop, and it happened late in the evening. The next morning, they were on overtime. The next morning, the individual who was beaten up reported to my office, black and blue eyes, bruised face, broken ribs, and said he wanted to report that he fell down on the job and report a workers' comp accident. But we knew different. Had to meet with him. Had to conduct a serious investigation. Finally, got him to tell the truth, which resulted in some charges being filed against the person that beat him up, the 35-year employee, and invoked a union response with a grievance, and that we wound up terminating the guy, and they appealed it through the grievance procedure, multiple steps, and took it to arbitration and won. But it's an HR horror story in that, you know, one person beat the other one up. And and it took all that work to make the company basically be able to sustain the termination of a person who did a very egregious kind of thing, and that the union stood up for him. And of course, they have awesome. Hello, who do I have on the line?
This is Ben.
Ben, I don't know what happened, but we're running late, and I'm telling bad stories. Sorry, this is Mike Vandervoort, if you've been hanging on the line, I just saw you connected on the board here on the back end of Blog Talk Radio. So I've been telling stories. Let me just finish up the story, and then we'll switch over to you and devote the rest of the time to your HR horror stories. Anyway, the union defended the guy. We had to fight for 6 or 8 months, and eventually were able to sustain his termination, which was extremely justified. So, not a great story, but it's a story. How are you today, Ben?
Wonderful. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. Other than the occasional live glitches that we get from Blog Talk Radio. So, were you hanging on the line, and we were just kind of suspended in limbo, or what?
Yeah, so I joined probably 30 seconds late, and I couldn't get in, I got most of your story. It was a pretty good
one. Okay, yeah. Sorry, yeah. It's better if I'd have rehearsed it a little. But anyway, so
So our guest today, let's do a reset because we're 5 minutes into what's a 30-minute show about your HR horror stories, Ben. So this is Mike Vandervoort, who has been bailed out by our guest, and I'm glad for that because I don't know if I'd have had 30 minutes of HR horror stories to tell all on my own. Ben Martinez, who is with HireVue. Go ahead and tell us about yourself, Ben, and your background to begin with.
Yeah. So I'm based in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm with HireVue. HireVue is the digital video for recruiting, onboarding, and training. So we play in HR and recruiting, training, hiring space. Been in HR recruiting roles for about, 16 years now. Primarily before HireVue, I was with Pepsi, Honeywell, and Energizer in about 7 different states with a stint in Mexico.
Excellent.
And yeah, so I've got a few horror stories I can ponder
you're,
up.
So your Twitter handle is HR Hound, right? HR Hound.
It
How
sure
did you
is.
Come up with that?
Yeah. Yeah, my Twitter handle is HR Hound. So that's all centered from my blog. So I've got a blog called The HR Hound that I started. It's probably been about 4 years ago now.
Okay.
With that blog, I was blogging before that as well, and then it just kind of morphed into my Twitter handle on Instagram that way as well. I've thought about changing it one day. It's just probably a matter of time or whatnot, but it works for now, branded under the HR Hound. So,
yeah, right, branding. I mean, yeah, I have a blog that's with my name now, but I had one before that had a different name, and I went through the same thing. Should I keep that name? You know, it's the brand I got. Is it the brand I want? Anyway, it's a show for another day. So HireVue and doing a lot of different things in HR space. Let's start out with the traditional. What's your first HR horror story? Let's just go there since that's the theme of the week, and then I'll ask you a couple other questions behind that probably.
Let's hit that up. So the first HR horror story actually is poking fun at me. And so I was 22 years old. My first HR role was in a meatpacking plant that was a provider for a McDonald's meat patties.
Okay.
So we did hundreds of thousands of meat patties per day. I forget the number. And so I'm in a college rotational program there, you know, right out of college. They put you in, they have you work in every department over the course of 3 months in this meatpacking plant. And I'm there. This is year was 1999. And I am learning the ropes of the business. And my first assignment is on the shipping dock, where basically you take the meat that comes in that's deboned and you load it into these big tubs, and it's very it's a physically tough job. So while I'm there, I've got my supervisor. Her name is, or my temporary supervisor. Her name was Tootie. I still remember her name, and she was tough. I mean, she was tougher than nails, and she let you know it every day. I mean, she would just outwork you, outschool you. She was verbally tough. I mean, you know, I was just beat down. You know, it was a rough. Tootie was rough. And so I'm there for 30 days, whatever it was I had to spend in that department. And then I moved to the next department. And the next department is the meat packing department, where you take the meat and you pack it into patties. And I show up the first day, and the guy, my supervisor over that department, his name is Fred. So I walk in, hey, Fred, how's it going? Nice to meet you. My name's Ben. And he says, hey, great. He said, what did you think of the shipping and receiving on the shipping dock? What did you think of your experience there? And what did you think of Tootie? And I looked at him, and this guy Fred is just a nice guy. And I said, actually, Tootie, I said, that was terrible. I said, and I used a few choice words to describe Tootie. I said, Tootie was a complete, you know what, I'll let you fill in the blanks. But and so he goes, oh, that's interesting. He goes, Tootie's my wife. Here I am, new young kid on the job in HR, and I'm dissing on this guy's wife, and, you know, she's a supervisor, and I just was like, I felt about an inch tall, just completely stupid. And my point is I was able to rebound. I was there for about a year, so I was able to rebound and, you know, became friends with both of them. Tootie was tough, and I needed a good kick in the ass at the time. But my point is yeah, I guess you said the learning there, HR horror stories, is know your audience at all times. Like, I had no idea
yeah,
until I married. It's a very small world. And that's what I would say. So I learned real quick, know your audience.
A lesson learned, know your audience and never assume that anybody isn't the relative of someone else, right?
Completely. Yeah, at a meatpacking plant, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah. Yeah, so I've got a, I've got, yeah, go ahead, yeah, so.
Yeah, go. I was going to say, if you got another one, I mean, I think the working in that kind of industry, and you said that was your first job, your first HR job, right? I mean, that must have been, just going in there must have been crazy, and seeing all that stuff that most people don't ever see, that must be kind of another weird part of that world.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, because you have these like dreams and visions of coming out of college that you're going to be working in this plush office job with everything. And this is 1999, so that was even then. Like, it was a privilege to have internet on your computer. Like, you had to have a certain level of whatever authority. It's funny looking back on it now that you have internet on your computer. So just way different. And then when you went there, you didn't really know who everybody was because you had to wear like a hard hat, safety glasses, a mask over your mouth because you couldn't breathe on the meat. So you didn't really know who people were. You just saw their eyes. And it was just not, yeah, so coming out, of just a, you know, good way to just humble yourself right in the beginning, I thought. So.
Yeah. World School of Hard Knocks, yeah. So tell us your second story. Sounds like you got another one queued up. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so my second story, kind of HR horror story, would be the time a few years later, different environment. I'll just paint the picture. Well, I work for Pepsi, so I was at Pepsi. It's not too big of a deal here. So while I was there, we had a payroll person who paid someone like an enormous amount on accident due to a key punch error, paid someone a lot more than they should have been paid on their paycheck, and it went on for like, I don't know, 30, 45 days until we caught him. And so instead of, I still remember the number because it just was grilled in my head. So instead of the person getting about a $340 paycheck. It was like a merchant, the guys who stocked the soda and the shelves. The payroll key punch was the person got $34,000 on a paycheck. And so this person, the merchandiser, the hourly merchandiser, typically gets about $340 on their paycheck, and they got $34,000 on a paycheck. And this went on, and so, you know, we didn't catch it until, like, it was about 30, 45 days later. So this person took the money and bought a boat and booked a vacation, did all this stuff with the money. And so it shows. So, you know, I get a call from, you know, my finance person, and he's basically like, hey, what the hell happened? And I look into it, and it was an honest mistake, right? So we had to pull the person in, and it was just funny when we pulled the person in and said, hey, you know, he shot straight. He goes, I said, hey, you know, are you aware of, do you aware of this check you got? And because we had proof that he cashed and everything. He's like, yeah. He goes, I got it. And he's like, okay. Do you have the money? He's like, no, not much of it. And he says, well, so, you know, I kind of walked him through this. I said, what were you thinking? I said, did you know that was an error when you got the $34,000? He goes, yeah, I knew it was. And I just thought I was, you know, someone would eventually catch me, but I would just see how much I could spend before I got caught. So it was, you know, awkward, tough conversation. I mean, I would say tough, but just awkward because the guy was just so, like, another word, naive about it. He's just like, oh, yeah, it happened. It kind of took like, my money. And so we ended up, you know, we had to terminate the guy. We, you know, tried to threaten him, saying we're going to, you know, come after him all this, you know, for the money. When we got some of the money back, and then I think, you know, some of it we just couldn't get back. It was just, you know, spending that much time to get the money back. Big company like Pepsi, just, yeah, you know, they obviously can afford some of that stuff. We got some of it back, but it was just, I guess, a horror story in payroll in HR.
No doubt. So, like, one, I've never done this myself, but, like, I've worked at employers where especially smaller, not Pepsi sized, but you know, more individual family owned kind of businesses early in my career where you had something like that happen, maybe not a $340,000 boat, you know, buying escapade, but
yeah,
you know, you had somebody get overpaid and you try to get the money back, and you know, they most of the time, like your guy, seems like people think, whoa, yeah, I'm going to go spend this before they catch me. Not necessarily the best thought process, but I had a guy one time who wanted me to hire a collection agency to go after a couple people who got paid overtime, and you know, they had left and we couldn't get it back. I was really against that as the HR person. I mean, what do you think of that? Something like, I mean, does that seem? Pepsi obviously didn't do it because it wasn't really worth the trouble. But would you ever do something? I don't think he'd want.
Yeah, I guess
brand.
It depends. Yeah, I guess it kind of depends. I mean, in that case, I think we might have got a collection agency. This has been 15 years ago now. But I think we might have got one. I don't think we ever got the money back. I think you just kind of gave up because, I mean, it's how do you get that kind of money out, right? You're chasing a guy. They go kind of their address changes every few months. And if you're a small mom and pop, you know, every penny counts. If you're a small business owner and someone's legitimately kind of scamming you, I guess you've got to kind of weigh out the risks or weigh out how much effort it's going to take. I mean, sometimes it's a lot of effort to go get that money. And if it's, you know, too much effort to go chase, you know, if you're chasing that old saying of, stepping over a penny, I forget it wrong, whatever it is, stepping over a penny to save a dollar or something like that, you know, or stepping over a dollar to save a penny, I think is the same. I mean, I think you just got to weigh it out. It's like, what's the effort? Like, am I going to get anything in return to this? At some point, you just maybe cut ties and you move on.
I was in a small, yeah, you know, rural community, and, you know, we were one of the larger employers, and I just didn't think we needed the word of mouth, you know, when we did a lot of seasonal hiring. But, you know, there's no right answer. So 340 grand, big mistake. Did the guy get to keep the boat? Did you reclaim the boat?
Yeah. So to be clear, it was 34,000 is what it was versus the 340. And I might have, yeah, so 34,000 versus the $340. So I don't know whatever happened to the boat. Like, we went after it. And we got a collection agency, and I know they were involved in it, and it was kind of a long, drawn-out thing. And I believe he went and he sold the boat because he had to sell the boat back, and he took a loss on that. We got some of the money back. We did get some of it. We didn't get the whole thing. And it was just – at some point, you just kind of, like I said, you know, you just have to cut your ties and go, okay, this is a loss. This is part of the cost of doing business a little bit, as dumb as it is, but this is what happened. And it's, you know, kind of funny that – to me, in my mind, I get, you know, and I've dealt with plenty, like yourself, Mike, you know, plenty of payroll mistakes. They happen, and, you know, some of them are good, honest ones, and you know, but the one that big, it's like, how can you even, like, think that you're going to get away with that, you know? So
I'm going to do a reset, Ben, since we started late, and we're right about halfway through, a little 118. We got about 12 minutes left. So this is Drive Through HR. Mike Vandervoort is hosting today. Ben Martinez is our guest from HireVue. He's telling HR horror stories. We've talked about working in a meatpacking plant and kind of making a mistake about a comment about an individual, and that was Ben poking a little fun at himself. And then the boat story, which is a great one. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but I'll tell you my payroll horror story, Ben. That was, I had just taken a new job in a company that was created out of a merger of three companies, and I was working at what was the former corporate office of one of them, and we had a payroll manager who was designated as the payroll manager for the new entity. And about, I don't know, 8 weeks into the job, she called me into her office one day, said she needed to ask me a question, and I said, yeah. And the bottom line of it was, she said, unless you give me a 3-year employment contract today, I'm not running payroll for the corporation, and I'm the only one here who can do it. And take it past lunch. It was a horror story for a bit because I wanted to get paid, but we had to handwrite checks. So it was very problematic. But I have never experienced anything like that before or since. So that was pretty scary when somebody decides to, you know, exercise their own leverage in that way. And obviously we couldn't stand for it, but it was we were worried we weren't going to be able to pay our hourly folks for a week or so, but we figured it out. So Anyway,
wow.
Horror story number three. You got something else for us?
I do.
Awesome.
So, yeah, so this one is, again, poking fun of myself a little bit more. Maybe I'm the horror. Maybe I'm the one that's the horror here. No, so actually this isn't. So I interviewed for a job once with the, and I don't want to pick on the person here too bad, but it was the chief of HR of a big company. We'll put it that way.
Okay.
And it was over wine, and it was at a bar, and this is, so he asked me, you know, he's going to pick me up at the hotel, and it's the first time I ever met him, and, you know, so I show up, I'm in my suit with, you know, 7 copies of my resume, right, just in case he needs it, and, yeah, I show up, and he's like, oh, you don't need your resume, don't worry about it, you don't need that. Oh, okay, so, you know, I put that away. And we walk over to, like, next to the hotel, to this kind of swanky wine bar, and I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. So we sit down and we have like a long hour, 90-minute conversation. And during the conversation, he occasionally refers to me as the name Jay. And I'm like, he keeps saying Jay every now and then, but I'm like, maybe I just misheard him. It's kind of loud in the bar. I'm like, okay, maybe not. So it kind of goes on. And then at the end, he starts to tell me, okay, well, he liked the interview and everything. He wants to bring me in tomorrow to meet the rest of his team. And it's a completely different job that he's talking about that I knew what I was going in for. And this guy's completely got me by the wrong name, wrong person. He did his homework, but he did his homework on the wrong guy. So he's interviewed me for a different role. And then he wants me to go interview his, you know, the different part of his team. It was completely, I was not even interviewing for, nor I don't even think I was qualified for.
So you nailed the interview for a job you weren't qualified for. You know, high expectations or low standards. I don't know.
Yeah. So I don't know what to say either. So it was, it was very awkward. And then I later corrected him. So I ended up going the next day, and I just, you know, I went home the whole day, just like that night I went home and I'm like, something just, what the hell? Like, that was off. Like, what, am I wrong? Like, did I, you know? And, come lo and behold. Yeah. And I did hit him up the next day, and he felt dumb, but, he was good about it, but, it was one of those things. Right. And so I said, yeah, I nailed the job interview for the job I wasn't even interviewing for under a different person who I thought I was. And, we really hit it off, and so that was, yeah.
Yeah, you should write that up and put it aside. It could be like a script treatment or something, you know. It could be like the next Breaking Bad, right? How I got this job that I wasn't looking for and had to assume a whole new life. So let's.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just laughing. I just go ahead. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So let's switch gears a little bit and maybe. You know, if I catch you off guard on this, you know, we can always switch back to another story. But, like, so you're doing work with HireVue now, right? So are there horror stories for your clients? And I don't mean share horror stories about your clients, but, I mean, are there stuff that your clients are dealing with that you view as an HR horror story that HireVue helps to kind of bring solutions to or anything? Any thoughts in that direction?
Oh, man, yeah, a lot. So we internally as a company, we get together a couple times a year and we share just, you know, in terms of, like, you know, obviously our product's video, so we get to see the good, bad, and ugly of some inside the companies, and we'll get together and just kind of, you know, like I said, inside the company and joke about it and laugh about it. I mean, we had one, it was very sad, actually. So we had a candidate who, not you know, this, keep in mind, this is a customer using our product, but this candidate, somehow somebody got in there, and we think it was like one of his children. They put an avatar on his screen, so when he did the digital video interview, it was the avatar of a cat.
Awesome.
And so the interviewer, so that's our customer, right? The company, the interviewer's interviewing him, and the interviewer, he's like, you're a cat. And the guy would come back and talk, and it's a cat with his mouth moving. And he would say, what do you mean I'm a cat? And he's like, no, you're like a cat. Like, I can't. And the guy would come back and say, I can't be serious right now. I can't take this serious. Like, I'm interviewing a cat. Like, this guy's a cat. Is this a joke? And so the guy, it went on for a while. And finally, I think they did a few questions. The guy finally was like, I don't know what's going on. You have to call me back. You are a cat. That was a, I mean, so you think of the poor candidate here. it was who knew ever played the prank on him. He might have. I'm not even sure if he got the job or not, but he might have, you know, missed out on a good opportunity. I mean, it's a big deal, right? An interview, and so that's. I mean, that's one of them. That's I mean, I've seen the video. That sticks out in my mind. It's pretty damn funny.
Yeah, you know, and like you said, it's a bit sad too, right? Not to laugh at the person, but if you don't know what's going on and you're unawares, man, that would be difficult and to adjust to, pretty hard to come back from.
Yeah.
So, what else you got in terms of horror stories?
In terms of another one is, I mean, horror stories. I think anyone in nature has probably faced something like this. I believe, maybe I'm wrong, but I had a client who I supported, very senior level sales role. We were going to terminate someone on his team who had been there for a while, which is, you know, was, you know, terrible to do in and of itself. And so we're kind of, you know, preparing for it. You know, I think we're going to do it like on, you know, the next week or something like that, you know, getting all of our ducks in a row. And my, you know, client, he emails the employee who were going to terminate, but in his mind, he thought he was emailing me, and he sends him the email, and he said, hey, when is, I'm just protecting it, when is Billy Bob's last day? But it goes to the guy we're terminating. And anyways, so to make a long story short, we had to move quick that day and terminate that day. It was an honest mistake, right? It just we've all probably done it, just not to that extreme where you're thinking of someone, but you send the email to the other person. And so it was pretty awful damage control we had to do, though. Go ahead.
Hopefully this was a few years ago before you could start putting it out on Twitter with screenshots and stuff, right?
Yeah, it was Twitter was definitely there. It was, thankfully this guy was not on Twitter, because I was like, when it happened, I thought, he immediately called me, the guy that was, found out he's terminated, and I pick up the phone, and he's like, he just hits me right, he goes, what's this going on with my job? He's like, I just got told I was terminated today. I'm like, what? And he said, yeah, I got an email, and so I had to go hunt down the boss because he was traveling, and I'm like, do you realize what you did? He didn't know, and he felt terrible. I'm like, this is terrible. So anyways, we had to pull our ducks in a row. So, it was very thankful that didn't, you know, was not on Twitter, because he could have shamed us big time, but that was terrible.
So we got about 3 minutes left, Ben. I guess before, you know, at the end we ask you to tell us where you can be found. You already did it at the beginning, but we'll do that. So you got one more short story you want to share with us? Or
I do, yeah, one more while I'm on it. So circa, this is going back 2006 to 2008 time frame, and that's important that I give you the date here, because what this gentleman did, he was a senior level HR professional at a big company. He would, at night, I mean, I thought this was kind of, it didn't offend me, but I was just surprised this guy did this. At night, this guy worked some mad hours. He would smoke cigarettes in his office at night. And I was just, like, amazed, like, that anyone in this time frame would do that still. And I knew it because one time I was working late. He didn't hide it. If you were with him late at night, I'm working late, putting together a presentation, and he was a chain smoker. He smoked a lot. And he puts a cigarette in his mouth, and I'm thinking he's going to, like, walk outside to smoke it.
Yep.
You know, he has it there for a while. And then he just flicks on the lighter, lights right up. It's about 7 o'clock at night. Everybody's gone. And I'm like, damn, this guy's smoking a cig. And he was, you know, the big boss. I'm like, he's smoking a cigarette in the office. Didn't care.
Hey, Ben, I'm sorry I'm cutting you off. We got a seconds left. If you want to tell people where they can find you in your blog, the music's going to kick in. So give us the last 15 seconds where they can find you again.
HR Hounds, my blog. We also kicked off a new podcast, me and a couple friends of mine, Gabe V. Mazar, Stephanie Krieg, at Secret Tech Sauce. Find that on iTunes. But HR Hound on Twitter and my blog. LinkedIn, Ben Martinez. Love to connect. Like to meet new people and connect and learn more.
Awesome. Down to 10 seconds. Thanks for being a guest. Drive Through HR, Ben Martinez, HR Hound. HR Horror Stories, they'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, Ben.
Enjoyed it, Mike. Thanks. Yep.